You're listening to Central Time. I'm Gene Purcell.
And I'm Rob Ferret. It's Friday. That means it's Food Friday. This week, we're learning about a big trend in food going gluten-free.
America's Test Kitchen listened to fan feedback and then spent a year in the kitchen testing recipes for a gluten-free cookbook. The Test Kitchen team recreated popular recipes without wheat, like old-fashioned birthday cake and fried chicken.
Here to give us advice about cooking without gluten is Jack Bishop, editorial director of America's Test Kitchen. Jack, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Nice to talk to you guys.
I've had some gluten-free food, not gluten-free myself. A few of my coworkers here at WPR have made good things, but usually I think of gluten-free as a synonym for not very good. Is that a pretty common experience for people?
Yeah, I mean, I must say some of the early testing was about as bad as the testing gets in for us, and that it's very hard. You, in many ways, especially when you're baking, mm-hmm. you basically have to forget everything you know about baking and start over again.
Right. One assumption would be, well, if wheat flour is the problem, I'll just use non-wheat flour in my baking recipe. It's not that simple. What kind of discoveries did you make that complicated the issue a little bit?
Well, the thing about wheat flour that makes it so unique is that it's relatively high in protein, and it has two proteins that, when they get hydrated, form gluten. Gluten is what gives bread dough its elasticity, what gives a cake or cookie its structure. You can certainly use other flours that don't have proteins that form gluten, rice flour, sorghum flour, bean flours, but they also don't produce the same structure. So one of the first things we did was we made a lot of cookie recipes, and we were using different gluten-free flour blends. Rather than using a single flour, you generally can buy these blends that have multiple ingredients in them that are meant to replace wheat flour. And the first thing we noticed is that the cookies ran all over the cookie sheet, and basically we made one big burnt cookie.
Yum!
Yes, it wasn't very appetizing, and that's because the gluten that's in the wheat flour is what controls the spread of the cookies so that the dough melts just enough so that you get 12 perfect cookies on a cookie sheet. And without those proteins, we were using a blend that was based mostly on rice flour. We were getting one big cookie that was basically running into the edges of the pan. And so we had to basically remake the recipe from the very beginning in order to figure out how to make a cookie that would spread just the right amount in the oven.
Well, after all this trial and error, you came up with, I think, what you're calling the America's Test Kitchen gluten-free flour mix. What ended up being like a good, versatile combo of flours that you can put together?
Yeah, so we really wanted one flour blend that would be sort of like all-purpose flour, that you could have one blend in your pantry that you could use to make a wide variety of cakes, cookies, breads, pancakes. And our blend has both white rice and brown rice flour, as well as tapioca and potato starch, and a little bit of non-fat milk powder. And that last ingredient is kind of the secret ingredient because it really helps with the browning and helps with the flavor of the flour blends. You get some of the kind of sweet notes that are actually in wheat flour, and that when you make a gluten-free cake or gluten-free cookie, you end up missing because you don't have any of the wheat in any of the flavors that you're getting from the wheat.
Should we just skip those gluten-free flour mixes we can find at the specialty section of a store?
No, we tested about 10 different mixes, and the problem is they're all different from each other. You know, if you go to buy all-purpose flour, it's made with one ingredient, wheat flour. And no matter the brand, they're all basically the same. The problem with the gluten-free flour mixes is they're all made with different ingredients and they all behave differently. We found two, King Arthur and Bob's Red Mill, that we liked quite a lot and that are pretty similar to the blend that we ended up developing in the test kitchen. The main reason that we developed our own blend was, one, it's about half the cost to buy the individual ingredients and mix them together, and it takes 30 seconds to make the blend. You literally measure five ingredients into a container, and you're done. And the other thing is we like to have total control, and we like our blend, and we like the ratio of ingredients. But we recognize that some people want to just pick up a box of flour at the supermarket, and so we recommend those two brands, King Arthur and Bob's Red Mill. And we tested every single recipe, not only with our own blend, but with those two store-bought blends.
One of my favorite things to make, especially in the morning, sometimes I'll even make it at night, is the pancake. What if I have gluten-free visitors? I want to make them pancakes. Am I out of luck, or can you make it work?
You can totally make it work. And really, that was the goal in all this testing, was not just to make something that was good enough for somebody who was on a gluten-free diet, but it would be good enough for everybody, because the reality is you're probably cooking for people who can eat gluten and people who can't. And you certainly don't want the rest of the people who can eat gluten complaining the entire time about the thing you made not being good enough. So pancakes actually really pretty simple. The main thing that we do differently is one of the challenges in any gluten-free baking is getting enough lift, enough rise. And so the baked goods can be very heavy and very dense and very rubbery. And so with pancakes, all we really need to do is to separate the eggs and to whip the whites until we get to stiff peaks. And then fold those egg whites into a batter that's basically gluten-free flour blend with buttermilk, a little bit of butter, a little sugar, baking powder, baking soda, similar ingredients. The key, though, was to get more rise by whipping those whites so that you ended up with light, fluffy buttermilk pancakes.
And on the cake theme, evidently our producer liked the look of the yellow layer cake. She put a bookmark in there, maybe for future reference. It looks like a fine cake. Similar things to what you did with the pancake there?
Cakes are really complicated. The main challenge with cakes is that gluten-free flours don't absorb fat very well. In particular, they don't absorb butter very well. Now, a pancake has very little butter in it, so it's not really much of a challenge, but there's a lot of butter in a layer cake. And we really had to cut out a lot of butter because if we just used the normal amount of butter, the cake was really greasy and unappetizing. But then when we took the butter out, it didn't really taste all that rich and delicious. Hmm. And so we were having a lot more success with the chocolate cakes in the test kitchen because chocolate is a much more stable fat than butter. Butter has a lot of water in it, which makes it relatively unstable. And so we said, well, could we put chocolate into our yellow cake? And we said, well, we could put white chocolate in. And so that's the secret ingredient. It not only has a small amount of butter for flavor, but then it has melted white chocolate that's added to the cake batter in order to give it richness and the kind of texture that you expect from a yellow cake, but it's not greasy.
White chocolate instead of butter. How long did it take to come up with that?
There were a lot of cakes that were thrown in the garbage until we got to that idea. And as I say, it was one of those moments where we had six people in the test kitchen for a year, and they were having so much success with chocolate cupcakes, chocolate cakes, and brownies, and really not a lot of success with the yellow cakes or the yellow cupcakes, and said, well, is there a way to get chocolate in? And somebody we were sitting around said, well, yeah, we could just add white chocolate, and maybe it will perform the same way the dark chocolate does. And that obviously, in a yellow cake, you can't have dark chocolate because then you have a chocolate cake, not a yellow cake.
Well, when I think gluten-free, I mostly worry about baking, but wheat flour shows up in a lot of other places, too. You guys have a fried chicken recipe. How do you, you use the flour in the batter that makes the chicken crispy. What do you do to work around the gluten there?
There, it's a combination of our flour blend and we use cornmeal. And the cornmeal really is a sort of secret ingredient there that replaces the flour. And, you still use the seasoned seasoning, so you add cayenne, paprika, a little garlic powder, and you can still dunk in buttermilk because buttermilk makes the best fried chicken. The cornmeal is a real trick, and we have a little bit of cornstarch in there, and those end up replacing the wheat flour.
So is there anything you guys just banged your heads against walls and just couldn't come up with something that worked? Any failures?
We had a lot of really challenging recipes. In some cases, the simpler recipes, pie dough, biscuits, because there's not a whole lot in those. There's four or five ingredients in those recipes. They were really, really challenging. I think we made 1,800 biscuits before we finally came up with a biscuit we really liked. But I gotta say, in the end, we pretty much came up with an answer to most things that we tried to do. We came up with a solution.
All right, Jack, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
That's Jack Bishop. He's editorial director of America's Test Kitchen. Their new book, The How Can It Be Gluten-Free Cookbook. We've got a recipe for the all-purpose gluten-free flour linked on the Central Time Facebook page, and we just tweeted that as well, at Central Time WPR. You can check it out there.